Ve studiu jsou tady se mnou dva členové švédské kapely Boy Omega, která dnes vystoupí od 8 hodin v klubu Modrá v Opice ve Vysočanech. Konkrétně to je Richard, ale otázky budou padat hlavně na Martina Henrika Olofsona, kterého tady vítám. Hello, pleased to meet you.
Hello.
A také tu vítám Tomáše Turka, který mi bude pomáhat s překladem dnešního rozhovoru. Ahoj, Tomáši.
Čau.
Tak první otázka tady na Martina bude směřovat v tom smyslu, že Martin je známý tím, že produkuje doopravdy velké množství různých nahrávek. Jakou roli nebo jak důležitá je pro tebe právě tvorba v Boy Omega?
You are known to make lots of like recordings and stuff. How important is your role in Boy Omega? Is this the project?
Yeah, it is, because it's sort of a solo project. And yeah, I have like two other projects that I work with, one called Cubot that is more electronic stuff, and an instrumental thing that I've just begin with called Mount Golden. And but Boy Omega has been the main thing for me since I started in 2003 or something.
Už od roku 2003, kdy Martin začal vystupovat, tak pro něj je nejdůležitější Boy Omega. Je to vlastně jeho solový projekt, i když je ještě zapojený do dvou kapel, a sice Cubot, což je takový elektronicko-instrumentální projekt, a teď nový Mount Golden.
Jak ty by si osobně definoval tu hudbu, kterou produkuje Boy Omega? Když se například někdo z posluchačů podívá na váš MySpace, tak tady máte jako kapely, které vás ovlivnily opravdu nepřeberné množství. Jsou tu například na mátku vidím Spoon, Joy Division, ale také Animal Collective nebo Portishead či Bill Callahan. Jak z tohohle tedy vytvořit zvuk Boy Omega?
He's asking how would you define your music. It's like big question. Regarding your MySpace influences, which is like hundreds of bands, and
I actually think I deleted some of them because I was thinking, yeah, maybe it's a bit too much with all these. I had, I guess, actors and movie filmmakers and everything. But I mean, it's more. Because name dropping, I find it kind of boring, so I just thought I'd just put up most of everything I kind of have in my iPod and that I like listening to. And so, but when I write my own songs, it's, of course I can get influenced by other bands, but it's more maybe just stuff happening in life more than that makes me want to write songs. And but of course, like production wise, you can listen to something and you think like, oh, this is great, I want to try something similar but do it my own way. So.
Na MySpaceu má spoustu těchhle jmen, ale měl jich tam ještě víc, vymazal si režiséry a další vlivy, zkrátka tam jenom našoupal jména, která má v iPodu a která ví, že často poslouchá, ale vlastně ten výsledek toho, co tvoří hudbu Boy Omega, s tím tolik nesouvisí, samozřejmě do nějaký míry ovlivňuje, ale hlavně to, co se děje v životě a kolem něj, takže to je spíš taková jenom rámcová věc.
Mě by tedy stejně zajímalo, jak může nějaký režisér ovlivnit hudbu Boy Omega.
Anyway, he's interested how any director can influence Boy Omega's music.
By their movies, I guess.
They do movies directors, right?
Yeah.
Is it them?
I don't know, maybe more their movies or their scripts or anything. I mean, I find maybe if I watch a movie by David Lynch, I really like the mood of it and it makes me want to maybe do something similar but musically. So in that way, like the same with books, you can read something that or pictures or whatever.
Když sleduje třeba film od Davida Lynche, tak to v něj vytvoří nějakou náladu, nebo ten film má nějakou náladu a tu náladu se snaží přetavit zase do hudby, kterou vytváří Boy Omega.
Když se tak poslechne někdo vaše písně, tak určitě na první poslech je tam zná taková ta severská melancholie. Na druhou stranu je tam dost vlivů, řekněme, té severoamerické hudební tvorby, a to není pouze nějaký můj amatérský postřeh, ale občas se to objevuje i v nějakých recenzích na vaše alba. Je to záměr, nebo to tak vzešlo, řekněme, náhodou?
Listening to your music, he found out that there's also some North European melancholy, I would say, but also North American folk tradition is present there. Was it natural thing also from listening to all these bands, or are there any like roots you would find in from your country, which is typical we might miss?
I guess so. I mean, people usually say that Swedish bands sound a bit the same. There's this melancholic vibe that is just there because of, I don't know.
Not so much sun or colder weather?
I mean, we have like four different types of weather.
Like, as we are.
Yeah, so it's not like, I guess some people think that in Sweden it's constantly raining or snowing. Actually, in Gothenburg, it's where I live, it's raining a lot, so it's kind of, the weather can be a bit depressing, so, but it makes you stay inside and be creative instead, so.
Samozřejmě to počasí nebo ta atmosféra švédská je taková, říká, že lidé mají tendenci o švédské hudbě říkat, že je melancholická, i když mají taky čtyřroční období a zrovna tam, kde on bydlí v Gothenburgu, je taky často déšť, takže to z toho asi vychází. Já se zeptám na jednu věc, protože o Švédsku ne úplně lichotivě mluvil Lou Reed třeba ve filmu Paula Ostera a říkal, že ve Švédsku se bojí oproti Brooklynu, protože tam jsou všichni ožralí a podobně. Mě by zajímalo, jestli to je pravda, protože třeba zastaví s vámi na ulici a začnou se s vámi bavit o operaci oka, nebo v televizi dávají operaci oka, anebo když nezastavíte na červenou, že s váma o tom diskutují. Have you seen this movie by Paul Oster, where Lurie talks about like what he's scared of? He's not scared of Brooklyn, but of Sweden, because everyone's drunk, and if you don't stop on a red light, people come up to you and discuss about it, and when you switch on TV, there's an eye operation, so there are all these cliches from Lou Reed. Is there anything true about it?
What was the thing about the TV? If you turn it on?
There's an eye operation.
That's true. Always when you turn on the television, there's eye surgery on TV. It's the Swedish law. It has to be there.
Okay.
So no other shows. They tried to get Big Brother on, but they wouldn't have it. The Swedish king said no.
So no, just
eye operations.
Takže ve švédských televizích jenom operace oka, odtud taky může pocházet Boy Omega inspirace, kterou my třeba nepochytíme.
Vy jste se rozhodli vydávat u německého labelu Glitterhouse. Proč jste se nerozhodli pro některé ze severských vydavatelství, které jsou teďka hodně na vzestupu a jsou hodně sledované?
He's asking why you decided to release your records on Glitterhouse in the first place. Why didn't you release on some Swedish or Northern Europe labels, which are now becoming bigger?
The first album was actually released on a Swedish label called West Side Fabrication. It's an indie company in the north of Sweden. But nothing really happened with that album. And then we got a chance to tour in Germany and in the UK. And both in Germany and the UK, we got offered record deals. So we signed new deals with a German label and a UK label and also an American label. And after that, I also released on the Spanish label, Aquarela, and after that was
all over the place.
Yeah.
Okay. Takže první album vyšlo na Westside Fabrication, což je švédský label, indie label, ale potom měli možnost dělat turné, koncertovat po Anglii, po Německu a tak dále. A v každé zemi přišla nahrávací nabídka nebo nabídka nahrávací smlouvy. Dostali se ke Glitterhouse, který samozřejmě jim vydal potom tu druhou desku, respektive tu předchozí desku. But also releasing on these labels, there's a thing called Pitchfork. Everyone's like crazy about it. If you are not on Pitchfork, you can't be enough expensive. Mm-hmm. So they noticed you, I think. They write about you if you have something new. Do you feel effect of it? Like people like if Boy Omega get a 5 stars on Pitchfork, you can now play in bigger venues and for all indie kids dressed from American Apparel. And
I actually didn't know that I've been on Pitchfork.
I've noticed. I've seen it. Okay. There, I think.
Then I think it's probably good. A sure. good thing.
If promotion wise.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I know about Pitchfork, and it seems like if they give a record like a high grade, then you will probably sell some records because of that. So,
do you care about it? Are you looking at your reviews and searching for it, or are you just more concentrated on a life situation, how people react on a on a?
Yeah, I try not to look at reviews, but sometimes I can't help myself because I want to see what people say. And I usually get, like, from the label, after a while they send me, like, a package of all the reviews. So,
and you are you hurt when someone said
no
bad things about you?
I mean, if I release something, it's always, for me, the best that I can do and what I want to show to people. And if there's someone who doesn't get it or appreciate it, then it's fine, of course, because we all have different taste in music. And
takže Martin z Boy Omega říká, že třeba recenze nebo hodnocení jeho desek ho tolik nezajímá, spíš se snaží na ně ani nedívat, ale vydavatelství mu občas pošle balíček, nějaké souhrn toho, jaké byly recenze na poslední desku, ale netrápí ho, když je to nepochopený, protože tu hudbu nedělá za tímhle účelem a dělá ji hlavně pro sebe a pro lidi, kteří ji přijmou.
Nás ovšem zajímají Martinovi alba, konkrétně třeba vaše poslední, má velmi zajímavý název The Ghost That Broke in Half, tedy nějaký duch, který se zlomil v půlce. Co to má znamenovat, co to má evokovat?
What should evoke this title, The Ghost That Broke in Half? Actually, it reminds me, the cover reminds me also this, have you seen this movie? The Diving Bell and the Butterfly from Julian Schnabel?
Yeah, I've seen the movie.
But the broken, the ghost that broke in half has the same maybe poetic quality title.
Yeah, I mean, it was actually supposed to be called The Ghost of My Better Half. But it was a bit too much.
It was too much, or your better half left?
No, I mean, she's still with me, so that would sound strange because it...
It's too sweet, or pathetic, or whatever.
It would be weird to name it The Ghost of My Better Half, I guess. But The Ghost That Broke in Half, I just found it exciting to think about it that way, like a ghost breaking in half, splitting up into two ghosts or whatever. And the theme of the album has a lot to do with, like, ghosts and the unknown and stuff like that. So, yeah. I knew I wanted the word ghost in the title, one way or the other.
Martin věděl, že chce mít slovo duch v názvu desky, ale hlavně mu přišlo hezký ta představa, že se duch jakoby rozdvojí, rozpůlí. Původně se deska měla jmenovat Duch mé lepší polovičky, ale přišlo mu to přes čáru trochu, takže teď se to jmenuje The Ghost of the that Broke in Half.
Před chvílí jsme se bavili o labelu Glitterhouse, kde vydáváte, právě na jeho stránkách jsem našel v popisku k tomuto albu, že si ho mají posluchači představit jako knihu, která se musí přečíst od začátku do konce. Znamená to tedy, že ty se opravdu snažíš dělat všechny alba tak, aby působily opravdu koherentně jako jeden celek a nikoli jako pouze kompilace nějakých různých nahodilých tracků?
In promotion text to the last record, there is also written that you should listen to it like reading a book from A to Z or from beginning to end. Does it mean you don't do it like a compilation of songs you collect during a time and period and put it out? And does it works like more, I want to avoid the thing called concept, but is there something like this?
Yeah, I really like when you can hear that an album has been like made almost like like a movie or a book that it, like I like when the songs blend into each other, and I kind of got that idea from a Danish band called Mew. Their album Mew and the Glass-Handed Kites, all the songs like blend into each other, and I thought it was really great. So I and the songs kind of, I just tried it with some of the songs, and then I actually wrote some songs so that they would fit in together. So it's really, yeah, it is a concept.
So you don't like it when we play only one song as a single?
No, you always have to play the full album.
Okay, so like 5 times a day. We'll try it since tomorrow. Nerad má vytržený písničky z kontextu, hodně ho inspirovala deska od Mew, kde taky tyhle písně jakoby se prolínají jedna v druhou a funguje, takže ano, přiznává, má to rád jako určitý koncept tu nahrávku.
Vy jste své EPčko, které se jmenuje, teď to tady musím najít, Follow the Heart, dokonce ale volně ke stažení na internet. Jaký vy máte vztah právě k volnému stahování hudby, který mnozí, hlavně tedy vydavatelé, označují za nešvar současné doby?
You've put on your EP as a free download. The immediate question, how's your relationship with free downloading on internet? How do you feel when your song is just floating around in the MP3? I think it's fine, actually, these days. I used to be like, I don't make any money if people download it, but I download some albums to listen to it, and if I like it, I buy the CD. So I think it's
hopefully works for
pretty good for like, it's like a huge library where you can just try out anything, and if, because back in the days you just went to record store and maybe you were like listening to the first song and it's great, and then you came home and the rest of the songs were crap, and so
Because some artists are complaining, you know, like, yeah, you put so much effort into like recording it sounding great, and then someone put it on the internet in lossless, really shitty quality MP3, and they are listening on notebooks and no one notices.
Yeah, that is not good, of course. I mean, MP3, or especially like MySpace, sounds like crap.
Mm-hmm.
But people really listen to a lot of music from only from MySpace, I guess. So, but I don't know.
That's the way it is.
Yeah.
Je to tak, že přistoupil na tuhle hru, zkrátka, že ty MP3 jsou ke stažení, tak to dnes funguje, sám si stahuje hudbu, ale dělá to tak, že když se mu něco líbí, tak se to jde koupit, bere to spíš jenom jako takovou ochutnávku z knihovny a doufá asi, že to tak je i u Boy Omega, že dneska, když přijdou na koncert třeba do Modré opice, takže si koupí třeba vinyl. Mě by zajímala taky jedna věc, jak vlastně vypadají naživo Boy Omega, jestli je to jenom sám Martin, nebo jsou tady ve dvou, nebo s kapelou, protože ta poslední nahrávka zní docela instrumentálně bohatě. How does it look live situation now with Boy Omega? Is it like 2 of you, 3 of you, because the recording is kind of rich instrument-wise?
Yeah, this tour, we did a tour in November where we were 5 people and we had drums and 2 guitars and keyboards and stuff, but this tour is just me and my friend Rickard, so a lot of the songs I just play solo, but I use acoustic guitar and electric guitar and loop station and some background tracks on an iPod, so it's kind of full anyway, and then Rickard plays some drums and pads, and so it's We almost sound like a full band.
How does it feel? Is it for you more free? Like you can go places because you are not kind of.
It's really nice to travel, just 2 people, and you can go by car, and everything gets easier. The sound check is great, not to have to put up big drums kit every.
And not too many smelly guys in a van, right?
I love playing with the full backing band as well, but it's I prefer doing both things. So maybe if I do two longer tours each year, then I can do one that's more stripped down and one with a fuller orchestra.
Dneska uvidíme Boy Omega v duu, i když poslední turné byla pětičlenná kapela, tak teď v duu, a není to tak, že by na ně neměli na zaplacení kapela, ale je to taky jedna z podob, jak si to Martin představuje, používá hodně smyčkovací mašinky, hraje na kytaru, doprovází ho tedy Richard na bicí nebo na klávesy, mají tam spolu sebou spoustu mašinek, který jako by dotvářejí i ten plný zvuk, který známe z nahrávky, a baví ho obě věci, není to chudší verze Boy Omega, je to jenom jiná tvář.
Tolik tedy pozvánka na dnešní večer, na co se můžeme těšit v klubu Modrá v Opice. Abych ještě ale poslední otázku zamířil přece jenom k tvému rodnému Švédsku, protože Švédsko je dlouhodobě asi jedna, řekněme, ze zemí evropských, které jsou v popředí, co se týká hudby. My, když máme podobně obyvatel, tak můžeme asi jenom závidět. Jaké to vůbec je prosazovat se na scéně, kde vlastně konkurují takové veličiny jako The Knife nebo potažmo Fever Ray třeba?
He's asking again about Sweden, since even it's the country big as Czech Republic in a way, but you could be proud for lots of interesting musicians who are successful internationally. So how does it feel? Is it harder maybe to get out of Sweden to be known like world-wise? How do you see Fever Ray? She's so big now.
She's really, really good. So she definitely deserves it. She's been along doing music for a long time with her old band Honey's Cool before, and I really liked them, but they were never got really
attention.
Big. And but The Knife and Fever Ray, I really like both stuff.
Is it easier now for Swedish bands because maybe
I don't. I mean, there used to be in I guess Germany like a Swedish thing. They started clubs called like Sweden Sweden, and they only had Swedish bands. But I was actually talking to my booker about that yesterday when we played in Berlin, and he said that it's kind of not that way anymore. People are more turning to Denmark or Iceland or whatever.
But next I guess trend, next trend is Czech Republic, I'm telling you.
Yeah, yeah.
But we don't have bands yet.
You don't have bands
Švédsko samozřejmě bylo trendem, říká, že v Německu byla jednou dlouhá taková vlna, že kluby se zaměřovaly vyloženě na švédskou hudbu, pojmenovali se Sweden Sweden a pouštěli tam jenom švédský kapely, ale teď už to jakoby opadlo a přelaďují se zase na Norsko nebo na Island. Je to otázka trendu. Samozřejmě Boy Omega, respektive Martin Fever Ray, tedy Karen Dreher Andersen, obdivuje a přejí to a už obdivovali její první kapelu ještě před The Knife zaslouží si to. Nemyslí si, že by to měli, ale švédský kapely teď o něco lehčí.
Já Martinovi moc krát děkuji za odpovědi. Připomínám, že Boy Omega vystoupí dnes večer v klubu Modrá v Opice, a Tomáši, tobě díky moc za překlad.
Uvidíme se večer. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.